starting the 3 o'clock hour a little bit late, but anyone who was listening to George Shea with us in the last segment would agree that it was worth the wait to get to the 3 o'clock hour. That guy is my spirit animal. I just love everything about him. I like a man who takes his work seriously, and that man takes competitive eating as seriously as Gary Bettman takes the NHL, Adam Silver, the NBA, Roger Goodell, the NFL, and so on and so forth. What more could you ask for someone when you're, what more could you ask from someone who is as passionate about what he's talking about than George Shea is about competitive eating?
I would say he's more passionate because now we're doing interspecies play. Like, hey, he's really revolutionizing.
That's a brand extension. That's a brand extension. That's amazing. So anyway, we're starting the 3 o'clock hour very late. Let's do headlines so that we can catch up because I do have a lot of stuff I want to get to this afternoon. Headlines are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Part of my headlines was looking up things Badlands Booker has chugged, unconventional things, and three stood out to me. He did a cranberry sauce chug in under 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's painful.
Dr. Pepper baked bean chug out of Dash Boot, like the big boot. And a 6-pound cold SpaghettiOs chug out of the boot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's another, because George was saying that baked beans, they drink them really instead of, like, for the food competitions. But, like, yeah, SpaghettiOs, same thing. I mean, if you were in a SpaghettiOs eating competition, you're not going to fork them into your mouth and chew them. You're just going to down those bad boys.
I could swallow a handful of pills, but I don't know about 6 pounds of baked beans.
Could you? Do you think you could shoot, like a shot, a can of SpaghettiOs, no meatballs?
I have a chance, yes.
Yeah.
SpaghettiOs, I really do think I can chug a gallon of milk, too.
Like, chug your... Badlands chugs.
Yeah.
I think you could drink a gallon of milk, but I don't think you could chug it.
No. I know I can chug a half a gallon. I just have to train a little bit for the gallon. I chugged half a gallon of milk in high school just to like impress people.
Half my gallons?
Game. Yeah.
Or a pint?
A half gallon. It was like game. Like everybody be like, you ever seen the light-skinned dude drink the milk? And then like, I'd get a half a gallon of milk and chug it at, you know, PE or whatever. And everybody was like, oh, man. Try to get some whoopee.
I'm drinking milk, huh?
Listen, whatever it takes, Hawk.
But who'd that work?
Yeah, you asked me if I still have my helmet from high school. So I think you were the one wearing a helmet in high school.
Really, it really wasn't sexy, but it just brought attention to you. So then,
I get it, but isn't it the kind of attention where the guy who's like the guy at recess who's like, "Look, I love holding bees," you know, and there's always the one guy and he's got the bees crawling and everyone, but he's not getting girls. You're just like, that creepy guy loves the bees crawling on him.
What's wrong with him? Why is he drinking all that milk? Oh, you know, he's an athlete and the protein. You know, I got a protein load. You know, ha ha ha. Now I go the athlete route. Ha ha. Whoopee.
I'll take your word for it. I feel like there's more to the story.
Yeah, they got no game.
Jimmy, you should try that. Just start drinking half gallon of
milk. See if it impresses Len. Start with Len. And if it works on him, then you expand.
Move it up. Yeah.
Not a chance I'll do that. I'll throw up.
Jimmy, I'm giving you gems right now for the women. You're just not listening.
Now, he gives you gems a lot, Jimmy. I'm not certain this one's one of them.
All right, guys. This was shocking today, by the way. I'll start with the NBA. Masai Ujiri out as vice chairman and president of the Toronto Raptors.
Weird that he's there for the draft and then gone after the draft.
Yeah.
When it's weird, it's always, I always think it's something personal that happened.
Right?
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg arrived in Dallas today. There was some video. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I did. I saw. So I'm holding up the jersey.
Yeah.
If LeBron James and Kevin Garnett has a baby, he's Cooper Flagg.
I saw Dwayne Wade. I haven't watched it, but I saw the headline on one of these podcasts, and he was talking about Kevin Durant. And he was saying years ago when he was with the Heat, Kevin Durant was never going to come to the Heat because he's not following in LeBron's footsteps in any way, shape, or form. That Kevin Durant does not want anyone to be saying, hey, he did what LeBron did. And Dwayne Wade said, I thought it was a waste of time when they thought they were recruiting him before, and I think it's a waste of time now.
Isn't that petty?
I don't know. Is it petty or is it calculated?
But what
I mean, it could be both. I guess it could be both.
Yeah, but I don't want to go to any team LeBron's been on. Like, it's kind of soft.
Well, it's not. I don't know if it's that any. Yeah, I was going to say, I guess it is essentially that, right? Because there's a knock on him of already joining a champion. LeBron had to come here to win a championship, but KD's already got that covered. So I don't know.
Yeah,
10 years ago, though, that made sense to me. But I don't think that applies now. Like what Dwayne Wade is saying now, I don't think that applies at all. I think if Kevin Durant wanted to come here, it's because he was going to get the extension. He doesn't have to pay state taxes. And it was just the right fit for him basketball-wise.
I'm watching it right now. It's Heat Diehards tweeted it out. It says, Dwayne Wade on why Kevin Durant was never coming to Miami. I said this 10 years ago when the Heat were trying to get him. He's not following LeBron. Why are we recruiting somebody who's not doing that? I didn't like it then, and I didn't like it now. I'm glad he's in Houston. That ain't it. Also, quote, I don't want to be one of those old dudes who can't come back and get celebrated. Heat, get this bleep together.
I like Wade getting a little loose lift in his retirement. I like it.
The problem is most people thought getting their bleep together involved getting Kevin Durant, but he didn't want them to do that. So,
no, he's not saying he didn't want them to do that. He's saying it was never going to happen. So why are you spinning your wheels?
Yeah.
Which maybe if you take Dwayne Wade at the face there for what he's saying, maybe the Heat knew that Kevin Durant was never coming here because he's made it clear that he's not following LeBron to the Heat. And so the Heat make it look like they're playing hardball so that it was actually their decision that he didn't come here when the truth of the matter is maybe there was no way he was coming here anyway.
Yeah, it just seems petty to me.
Well, guess what? Give Kasperis Jakučionis number 3. I've heard enough. I'm good.
Kasperis Jakučionis.
You know how I feel.
Give him number 3.
So our backcourt is Jakučionis and Hero.
That's right. Although I don't think Jakučionis will be the starter. I don't think that's actually the backcourt.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Unless Davion Mitchell goes elsewhere. I mean, it might very well be. I mean, once he has to beat out Terry Rozier day one of training camp within the first hour, I mean, that'll be simple.
Jakučionis, he got him off his highlight reel.
I mean, Jakučionis, if you know anything about the Heat and Eric Spoelstra, that dude ain't a starter, and he's not like – Spo goes overboard to make you earn your minutes as a youngster to the point where they were complaining. I think it was Jimmy Butler was complaining about Jovic not getting enough minutes.
Yeah, well, they sent him down. That's what Jimmy Butler was upset about. And even last year, Khalil Ware, he wouldn't play him. He would not play him.
If you go for anything, you stand for nothing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Touche.
I don't know if that's the... Something like that.
NHL draft will take place today at the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles, round one. And then tomorrow, rounds 2 through 7. The Florida Panthers do not have a selection tonight. They do have several tomorrow in the next couple rounds. The big NHL news is that there's going to be a new CBA. 4-year extension begins 26-27 season. It's going to be announced today. And they're going to be 84 games instead of 82.
In a couple of seasons, not next season.
Correct.
Is that going to mess up like with NFL, adding the 17th game, mess up records and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Who cares? More money.
It is surprising, though, isn't it? Because I don't know. I felt like if the NBA or NHL was going to make a change in schedule, they would decrease the amount of regular season games.
No, the NBA would, because their games are devalued. The NHL, everybody plays. It's not the same thing. Like you have competitive hockey, because they're gonna remove two preseason games. Nobody goes to NHL preseason games, so you have a revenue opportunity. Players love to be out there playing. It's just apples to oranges. The NBA could never, no matter what the stakes are, could never add games because the regular season is already meaningless.
Well, they added that little goofy mid-season tournament.
That's what they need to do, is add more, you know, razzle-dazzle.
Change the court color. What?
Yeah, exactly. What? 50 uniforms.
Change the court color.
I'm telling you, man, get rid of conferences, get rid of divisions. You play 60 regular season games. One home game against every team, one road game against every single team, or 58 games.
Yeah, but how are you going to lose 22 games of revenue?
You don't, because then you expand the in-season tournament. You stop the regular season for about a month and a half, and for an entire month and a half, you make up those 20 games with the in-season tournament. One home game, one road game against every team in your group. You make it all the groups based on what the divisions are right now. So you still end up playing the Hawks, the Hornets, all your division teams multiple times in a year like you normally would. And then the top two teams from every group who win, just like the FIFA Club World Cup, advance to a knockout. And then you make up all those games with TV revenue through the in-season tournament. Telling you, it's right there in front of their faces. This is literally how it's done in Europe. Like, this isn't that difficult for soccer. It's how it's done.
Move to Europe then.
Solana, who'd you take that from? Who did you say? That was way too...
That was such a great dismissive answer. Go move to Europe if you don't like the American way.
Nobody. Crowder, Solana, I've been saying this for years.
I've been saying this for years.
Well, he stole it from Europe.
Literally, like, this isn't a revolutionary concept, and it would make more sense. It would make more sense, because guess what? The teams that don't care about the in-season tournament, okay, don't care about it then. Fine, but guess what? Fans, after a couple of years, are going to care about it, because you stop regular season play and you tell people these games don't count for the regular season. But you have a chance to go and either get healthy if you know your roster is a little banged up. Okay, then you don't prioritize the in-season tournament. Some teams in Europe don't prioritize a Champions League or the Europa League or the Nations League because, hey, we'd rather have better success in, you know, our actual league. Or some teams start off so poorly in the regular league, they know they have no chance, they prioritize the in-season tournaments. Like, it's strategy. It adds a whole new layer to what you're trying to do. It's not hard. They've been doing this for decades in soccer and every other continent outside the United States. America, North America.
You can take your helmet off when you have this discussion.
Well, the problem is Adam Silver would say, wait a second, why do I need to fix something when we're a $1 billion industry? Yeah. The problem is you're never compelled to do that until people actually stop going to games and actually stop watching the games on TV. So we all say the same stuff, but we don't change our behaviors. So they don't have any impetus to actually do something like that. I'm with them. It makes sense. And if they were forced to do that because they were actually losing revenue, they would be forced to do it. But to change everything when you're getting record dollars from TV contracts, like the bidding war for the NBA rights was insane.
Yeah.
Which is why TNT lost it. I mean, the numbers are mind-boggling. So they really have no incentive to do that. They have an incentive to tell you, oh, yes, we hear your concerns and we're trying to address the...
Yeah.
And the bottom line is they're making more money than they've ever made before.
Yeah.
All salary caps are going up. Every sport.
Yeah. Yeah. But Hawk, I mean, you would agree, like, there could always be better ways to format a league, even if the league is achieving success.
First of all, like, you know, a 25-game regular season would be better than an 82-game regular season. Maybe a 50-game, but... It's just conversation. If you're more successful than you've ever been. I used to do it with Trump, you know, when people would always go, oh, are you going to pivot to being more presidential back in 2016? And I was like, he just won the president. Why would he pivot now? You know what I mean? Like, you just reached the mountaintop. Like, I'm going to change it now. And so I would submit to you the same thing with the NBA. While we all agree that the games feel meaningless during the regular season and there are ways to fix it, what is their real incentive to shake things up when they've never made more money?
You just said fix it. It's not broken.
Right.
Well, it is in a sense, nope. Though. It's not broken at all for business. Right. Yeah. But it could be better. Like the next TV contract could be more like greater money wise.
Right. But there's a percentage increase. And you say to yourself, if we get this percentage increase, then everything's fine. Now, if you set budgets and you don't hit budgets, that's when you start to reevaluate. And my guess is Adam Silver said, hey, when the next TV contracts are up, if we're able to get this, which they obviously did from NBC and Amazon. You know, again, it just wouldn't make any sense to rock the boat, really.
Yeah. It's just, in my opinion, like divisions and conferences in the NBA make no sense. In the NFL, it does. But in the NBA, it makes no sense.
Like, when you play everybody already. Yeah.
You play everybody already, and the rivalries aren't the same because rivalries come into place based on who you play in the playoffs, and you can just fly anyways. No matter who you're playing in the NBA, like you don't need divisions anymore. You don't need conferences. Eliminate it. Get the top 16 teams based on a regular season schedule, and you're going to have a much more competitive product. But whatever.
Somebody texts in, the NBA is nowhere near the mountaintop. Ever since Jordan, they've been crashing and burning. you're just living in a world that you want to live in there. That's honestly your take. I mean, like, go look at the TV contract.
Hawk, that's your guy that's going to follow you on the Mervis conspiracy. So don't
right.
Don't
that's, right. That's my audience. That's my audience.
Embrace it. I mean, you're right, Mervis, sir. You're right.
Facts are facts. Like, it just is. I'm not telling you I'm happy about it or not. And I'm not telling, but like, to think that, I mean, honestly, it's crashing and burning since
that's like the people MJ who say era. We're not watching the NFL anymore because they have racism in the end zone.
That's a narrative that you would, I'm guessing that texter, that you would love for it to be true. So you're saying it as if it is, but I am telling you, go look at the TV contracts that were just signed and tell me the league is crashing and burning. Because it's comical. That's a comical take.
You see that, though. People are like, oh, nobody watches the NFL anymore.
Right.
Meanwhile, the NFL in the top 100 ratings book has 98 of them.
Right.
And it's more than just networks now. There's streaming. There's every type of different distribution. And all of them are billion-dollar companies. That's crazy to say.
All right, guys, your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7, partly cloudy. Oh, Marlins are in Arizona, by the way. I don't think I've mentioned that on the show today, but 9:40 tonight, Marlins are in Arizona. They'll open up a three-game weekend series on the road against Randy Johnson and the Diamondbacks. Your weather right now, 85 degrees, a little humid, and some rain as well.
Josh Beckett on the bump for the fish.
On the bump, yeah.
I was listening.
Juan Pierre batting leadoff.
All right, don't go anywhere. We're going to break down why the NBA is crashing and burning in the next segment. The guy texts back and he says, it's simple. Ratings. Look at the ratings. Go look at the ratings. 100% the NBA has crashed. Again, it's a false narrative that you're creating because TV contracts are bought based off of ratings. Period. End of story. Advertisers and networks aren't stupid. They know how eyeballs and advertising works. Now, if you're suggesting that the share of viewership is down from 80s to now when Michael Jordan was playing or 90s, yes, because there are more things to watch, but they don't sell advertising based on 2025 viewership versus 1991 viewership because it was a completely different media landscape. So it what you're doing there, you're convoluting an argument. I'm telling you, if you want to know if something's crashing and burning, look what they just got for their broadcast rights. And unless you think that every media outlet forgot how business works, then you cannot say with a straight face that the NBA is crashing and burning. It's illogical. It's literally illogical. So I appreciate that you have your own narrative and you would like for it to be true. It's just not. And it's the conversation that we just had. I would love for there to be a come to Jesus moment for the NBA where they reduce the number of games from 82 and do what Solana's talking about. But they don't need to because they're not crashing and burning as much as I'm annoyed by how the league looks on a night in and night out basis. I'm just telling you what the reality is. That's the reality.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
You're not going to learn anything about sports on this show. I'm sorry. You're not. But I know McDonald's. I don't know if you saw it. Joe Shad had tweeted it out, retweeted Pro Football Talk. You know, Mike Florio, he's got the 2025 coaching hot seat list. And he has Mike McDaniel as the number one name on the NFL coaching hot seat list.
Can't argue it.
Can't argue.
I know there's some coaches. You know, Stefanski, just think about bad teams. But, yeah, McDaniel's job security is not very strong.
He's just run out of time. It had, and again, the you know, I think they're close, and I think last year was the outlier. But there's been, if you look at last year and accept it, it was a regression. And this will be, what, his fourth season? Fourth season?
Yep.
Right? Yeah. You've got to have results. You have too much talent. You've had too much talent on the roster to not have results after four seasons. So I do think him being number one on the coaching hot seat is probably a fair assessment.
And I would, and for him, I think Tua is a gift and a curse because Tua can run his stuff very, very well. Nobody else can. We've seen it. Nobody else they have on that roster can run his offense.
But Hawk, Mike McDaniel's brought in my opinion, number one priority was to make the investment they made, the guy they took fifth overall, into a great quarterback. And I think he succeeded at that.
Well, he did. But the reason he's brought in, though, is to at least win a playoff game, make that quarterback a great quarterback, so that translates then to postseason success. So he's got some of it done, but you don't have just, you know, a limitless timeline to get it all done.
Right, but if I'm Mike McDaniel, I'm saying, hey, I got us into the playoffs, and I made Tua a Pro Bowl-caliber quarterback. The one season we didn't make the playoffs, he wasn't available. And guess what? I need better, as you guys always say, ingredients in the kitchen. So I'm not even defending Mike McDaniel. I think he deserves
part,
to be
he's
on the hot
part of
seat,
the team but. That's going shopping. Like, I mean, yeah, you know.
And they underperform again. It's honestly, Alana, it's Alana you bring up all the time. He underperforms against playoff teams. So we want you to win a playoff game. You play the Chiefs late. You play the Bills late. They always whoop your ass. You can't figure out a way to beat them somehow, some year. There's a way to where did Ben Johnson go to Chicago?
Yeah.
So Ben Johnson, to your point, and I just lines up when you said it. Ben Johnson's there to make Caleb Williams' full potential hit. When Caleb starts playing well under Ben, Ben has to start winning games now.
Right.
It's not just, hey, I got Caleb playing good. I'm good. Right. No, now it's time to win games.
No. I understand. Like, he needs to. I'm just saying Mike McDaniel, in my opinion, held up his end of the bargain in terms of what it is he was brought in here to do. And then he could also say, hey, look, man, like, I need a better roster. I can't compete against the top teams because my roster just doesn't stack up against those teams.
Any losing coach could say that, right? That would fall on deaf ears if I was an NFL owner or team president or whatever. Yeah, okay, anyone who doesn't lose needs, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts and like, but I can't deliver that. So you have to figure out a way how to, you know, exploit what we do have for maximum gain. And if you can't do it, I'll find someone who can't.
And to your point about the groceries, if McDaniels is gone, Chris Greer is gone.
No doubt.
That you have to total, you're talking about a reset. I don't know, roster reset, but you have to administratively reset.
4 o'clock hour's coming up. Tonight is the NHL draft, and we have a great NHL draft day story from Randy Moeller that, trust me, you're going to love. You're going to love, and even if you've heard it, you'll love hearing it again.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Everything that comes out of my mouth is generally wrong.